Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Final Whistle Reaction. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with 102.5 The Game, alongside Claudio Villalobos with Nashville Total Sports. This guy over here. Apologies for the technical difficulties we had after the match against Atletico San Luis. There was a little bit of a, I guess, I would call it an error on my end a little bit. The audio was going through, but you know, it is what it is. But no, we're here to give you all the instant reaction, the quickest we can. And that's after Nashville SC's 4-1 win over Atletico San Luis, Christian Espinoza, who made his first, I guess, start since his injury return, and scored a brace in the first half, had a beautiful goal. And then his second goal was incredible, definitely world-class. It was a free kick from the top of the box, and Nashville was in pretty good command. They looked like their old selves for once. And Claudio, what were your initial thoughts after the game?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say hola to everyone. You know, one thing I was going to say before that, Nick, what we do here, especially when we go live without technical difficulties, it would not be the same. I mean, it's a matter of fact. I mean, at least in the radio, you have more control because doing that all the time. But when you're outside, the stadium, anywhere else, anything can happen, microphones, cables, whatever. Anyways, I mean, my initial thought was perhaps the fact that Nashville was a little closer to what they are or the kind of game that they play. I mean, granted, the competition might not have been there, but I take the words by the game in the match. Christian Espinosa, when he said, well, I'm going to take all the credit for our team. And I believe he's right. You know, we start second guessing what a team does because of the competition. But at the end of the day, you still have to do your part. And if you do your part, if you do as best as you can, then whatever happened next door is not your responsibility. You just got to take advantage of it. So Nashville looked a lot better, much better, much closer to the team that we were seeing before the World Cup break. And that's just a plus because this is the time when this team really needs to pick it up. I mean, of course, for the League Cup, there's stuff to fight for, but mainly for the MLS, and we don't want to see this team going back to not being in the first four positions of the qualification like it happened last season. I mean, at least if they're not going to win the whole thing, if they're not going to win the Supporters Shield, they have to be in between those four first places to have a playoff game in Jody's Park. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And you look at this team and you say, like you mentioned just a second ago, this looked like the Nashville SC of old before the World Cup break. And the one thing I think we can all agree on, minus, you know, Jason Palacios' goal that he allowed, I mean, it went through his legs, he got nutmegged and then put past Brian Schwaki. But minus that, I thought Nashville looked fundamentally sound out of the back. I thought they did a really good job of exploiting the open areas, especially down the right side with Andy Nahar and Christian Espinoza, like you've mentioned just a second ago. I thought Espinoza looked really well. I mean, minus, you know, him being on a minutes limit, a restriction, I guess, in some form or fashion that BJ Callahan mentioned in the post-match press conference. But I thought he did a really good job overall. I thought the spacing on the field was great. I thought Nashville in the midfield with Eddie Tagsethe and Matthew Corcoran did a pretty good job. I think Corcoran, for me, has regressed a little bit from the beginning of the season, even in from the leaking last parts of the season up to now. I think the reason why I say he's regressed, I think there's just been a lot of workload put on his shoulders and especially on his feet. I think that there's just been the opportunities for him that, you know, with so many minutes, I think for him it's been more of the first touch that's bothered me a little bit. I think his first touch hasn't been as crisp. But when he has had opportunities to kind of advance the ball or even kind of cycle it through the back line, I thought he's been okay, definitely above average, but there could be areas where he could get improved on. So obviously Hani Mukhtar had his moments in the second half when he got subbed on, and it was good to see, you know, the number nine, Sam Surge, get on the score sheet as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sam's been kind of, you know, I wouldn't say MIA, but he just hasn't had the same service that he had before the World Cup.
Before we continue, Nick, another technical issue here. There's something reflecting on your eyeglasses.
Oh, yes, that's the lighting. Sorry about that.
So two green circles there, but that's fine. Well, I mean, I did ask BJ about the fact that perhaps many times you're not supposed to celebrate goals from scorers that already scored before. But then Sam was so thirsty for one. That's why he celebrated really well, that one. And then, of course, the last one by Reed, first one ever with the team. I'm not even sure if did he have a game again before on MLS or anywhere?
Maybe with Seattle at some point, I can't recall.
Yeah. Well, anyways, and then and the other one, the two goals from Christian, they were awesome, both of them, especially the free kick right there. And so there were so many things to celebrate as if they happened for the first time. But the main issue for me was that the victory with the four goals is clear, but the stuff that happened on this game that is the key factors for Nashville. For instance, the quicker transition. We kind of talk about it on the final whistle when we were at the stadium, but the microphone was not on for us. So, but we talked about it. That's one part that was missing big time. Remember, we discussed before that this team was taking too long to bring the ball up.
Yeah,
you know, that whole passing horizontally there and all this stuff going on. And
the buildup was too slow.
Yeah, too slow. And all of a sudden, they started finding people up front. Espinosa was there. Nahar was there. On the other side, they were imitated this time by Lobbies and then Saad, Elias Saad, that make he's becoming a big difference for this team, for sure. And the fact that he can come inside with ball, the same thing that Espinosa does on the other side, that's bringing something to the table that the team didn't have before the break, which is also scary to think about it. I mean, in other words, which is what you always expect and you can always get, Nick, getting when you sign people, when you sign new players, you're hoping for stuff like that to happen. Many times it doesn't. And this time it looks like, at least with Elias, that what Nashville was trying to get, they're getting it now. At least they're showing it. And the same thing we can say with the camera, you know? They're trying to find a quicker pace in the middle with a very quick and fast defensive midfielder. He only played a few minutes, but he shows some of the stuff he can make. He can do for this team as well.
Yeah, that was something I asked BJ Callahan in the post-match press conference as well. Is just how is Famara Kamara going to fit into this starting 11 and or just his role off the bench? And he said, I like the way he came off the bench and asserted his dominance. I thought that was a big takeaway from what BJ Callahan had to say. Because when you're a new player on a roster, you try to really just say, hey, I'm here to help you guys. I'm not here just to, you know, improve my own self. I think it spoke volumes a little bit. Same thing goes for Elias Saad. Obviously, this was his second start for Nashville SC for it being in the League's Cup, so that's competitive play for sure. I thought Elias Saad did a really good job of dropping back into space in some ways, kind of a little bit of a deeper role into the midfield. I thought some of those overlapping runs that we saw with Reed Baker-Whiting in the first game with Elias Saad against Leon was really good. And then you fast forward to Atletico San Luis, and obviously Daniel Lovitz was on the left side. That was played a little bit more differently. I think it was more of Daniel Lovitz playing at a wider part of the left flank of the field, and Elias Saad kind of pushed inside a little bit. There was not that many overlapping runs when they were out there together. It was more of Elias Saad pinched more inside and allowed himself to think, I can kind of cut into my right foot and find some, you know, passing lanes or diagonals to the back post, allowing, you know, maybe another pass into the box to really create more chances on goal.
You know what's interesting about what you're saying also, because when Saad comes out and Love is that as well, now we have Mohamed and Reed Baker-Whiting, and they start doing similar stuff, because if they were not switching back and forth, Mohamed, I'm talking about Mohamed and Reed, then the goal doesn't happen.
Correct.
You know, but the fact that he was inside the box at that particular part, it only happens because they've been switching around, you know, one playing half back and one in front. And so that is nice to see. And that can only happen because of one person. I mean, Reed is always known to do that, even in Seattle. He's the guy that goes back and forth on the left side. But the one that is changing positively, and we already discussed this about, is Mohamed. He's coming back strong to play defender if he needs to. He's doing really better and better every day. That caused the third goal. And you know what's funny? I remember something that BJ said at the press conference that maybe we can share with the, with our fans. That when BJ said something that might sound contradicting, when he said the proudest moment of the game when was when they conceded the goal. That's kind of weird, right? Listen, yeah. To coach. How could you be proud of somebody scoring on you? But the fact that how he built it, it was very smart. Because he said, that's when our team responded. That's when our team said, okay, wait a second. It's the proudest moment because he credited the reaction on the team. Instead of just, I guess, putting their heads down and stop or losing, they just reacted and did whatever they did the rest of the game. So that was kind of interesting that he put it that way. But once you analyze what it meant, he's right.
Yeah, and, you know, when he said, you know, when the proudest moment was when they, you know, allowed that goal, to me,
because it wasn't a tactical adjustment.
No, it wasn't. It was more of a flip of the switch of the player saying,
yes.
Oh, crap, we need to really readjust right. What we're doing here. This is not us. And I think right. A lot of the players have mentioned that. We've even asked Shaq Mohammed. I asked him after the Lyon game, you know, what's different about this team? How can they get back to their old form? And he even, just paraphrasing when I say this, he didn't seem concerned. He just basically was stating in a roundabout way of that they just need to get back to their old form, that they just need to kind of stay calm and collected and just get back to what they were used to doing. And I think that was put on display after the first goal against San Luis. So, no, credit to BJ Callahan, credit to the players. They've done a really good job of just trying to figure out their old identity, and I think it is definitely found. I think when it comes to tomorrow, going into Wednesday, that is.
But then before you go there, Nick, sure. Remember, and those words by BJ and what happened exactly at the minute they concede kind of matched very well with what Diego, the coach, Diego Mejia said that he couldn't recognize his team in the second half. I mean, he might be right, but a lot of that happened because the other team just doesn't allow you to play your game. Whatever plan he had, Nashville decided after that goal that it was it. It was over. And you can see the effort was there by those guys, but they just couldn't do anything of the plan they had because Nashville just pretty much took over. So both things match.
Yeah, it goes back to what you said earlier about how Nashville kind of played two side to side. Like the ball was, they distributed the ball wide. They didn't play too direct. They were trying to make a lot of build-up play, and there was too slow of the build-up play. I think when Diego Mejia saw that, then that's when he was said to his Atlético San Luis players to tactically keep pressing higher up and higher up. That's what allowed them, when Nashville turned the ball over, to play a quick counterattack and get past Jason Palacios and score. And then after that, we saw Diego make the adjustment. It was almost like parking the bus. From the minute they scored all the way up to, you know, Nashville's first goal, it was all 11 guys behind the ball. And I just think that was very, you know, scared tactic in a roundabout way. I hate to be rude with saying that, but it's a little bit of a scared tactic because the way BJ Callahan's team responded, like we were just talking about, it was all press, press, press. It was like Nashville suffocated Atlético San Luis in their own half, and that's what it looked like. The pressure that they put on them, it was definitely that.
When Diego decided to go the other way around and then he tried to make his lines go up a little bit, they leave the biggest space in the middle, which is Nashville. If you leave that to Nashville, that's it. That's it, because then whoever is there, I mean, Mokhtar came in late, but whoever is there, I'm going to say Christian, Zurich, they start exploring those pockets right in front of your front defense. And if there's no people in there marking up, you get in trouble, and that's exactly what happened, and that's where the goals come. I mean, he had no choice. They already lost 4-1 against Miami. They needed to try to find something, and they knew they had to take those risks. But against a team that Nashville that knows how to control the ball and control the tempo of the game, when you move up without covering yourself, your back, then you probably get into, and more often than that, you get into trouble.
Yeah, and like, when you see the way Nashville played, especially when Hani came in the game and Reed Baker-Whiting came in the game, it was completely different. And when I say completely different, I mean they were able to manage the game. They even were strong enough to the point where they kept pressing and kept attacking, trying to score more goals, because in the League's Cup, you only get 3 games. And for Nashville, they need certain things to happen for them to go on to the next round of the League's Cup. And, you know, because they lost that first game against Atletico Leon or Club Leon, excuse me, it's put them between, you know, I think they say a square peg and a round hole. It doesn't really fit well. So Nashville is 6 points right now. and not 6 points, 3 points. Excuse me. If they beat CF Monterey, and I still think the sweet number for them to kind of go on to the next round is like a 3-0 win or a 2-0 win. I mean, they could win 1-0, but they need certain teams to, you know.
Yeah, they kept their hardest course. They need hardest course.
It's what, Cincinnati, and I have it in front of me. Give me one moment here as we, you know, continue with the show. But I think that it's just Nashville needs a lot to go for them. I think it's like three or four teams. But, you know, it is what it is. That's just how things roll. I mean, Nashville also has a tough game this Saturday against Inter Miami, excuse me. So that's another one that they have to kind of keep, you know, their heads on a swivel for. Let's see here. I'm trying to get it. I apologize. My phone is not cooperating. But Nashville, they do need to, let's see here. 3-2. Got that there. I apologize here, Claudio, as I try.
That's
to
fine. No problem. Yeah, go ahead.
But,
take your time.
Let's see. Stat here. Here we go. Now I have it now. Nashville SC will be eliminated from Leagues Cup if Cincinnati, Columbus, Charlotte, and Real Salt Lake all win Tuesday night, which is the time of our recording. Monterey cannot be eliminated.
By any score, right?
By any score. And that was from Nashville SC stats. So I have to give credit to where credit is due. But no, Nashville, if that situation happens, then they'll be able to advance if all those teams lose, which is a lot to happen. Like Cincinnati, Real Salt Lake, and many more.
A lot of things can happen. I mean, it's not an easy day for any of the teams, for sure.
No.
I mean, at the end of the day, it was a very big and positive response from Nashville after the lackluster one against Leon, because it's not that Leon was the best team on that night at all either. It's just that Nashville didn't take care of business.
And also, that Nashville fielded the youngest team in club history, the youngest starting.
Still, they dominated the game, didn't they?
I would say for the most part, there were times where, you know, Thomas Williams and even Jack Mayer in some cases, kind of what we talked about during the San Luis game with some of the starters then before they conceded the first goal. They were just kind of building up the play too slow. It was too wide. I think they didn't play too direct. They didn't play it direct enough, excuse me. So they just didn't exploit the middle of the field enough. And I think they just kind of kept worrying about those overlapping runs. I think, you know, when we go back and look at that game, Elias Saad and Reed Baker-Whiting, I talked about those overlapping runs. I think that was emphasized a lot in the first half, and they missed out on some opportunities throughout the midfield. But again, young guys like Charles Mill-Brunet, I think, did a really good job turning over in that situation. So, you know, it's just a matter of time for some of these young guys to get some minutes and build some confidence under them to kind of play with the top guys.
Well, I mean, fact of the matter is that, and you said it really very well already with the example, victory is not enough tomorrow unless all the scores don't play in Nashville's favor. We'll see what happens. Every single game is different. Every single game has been, especially in the second part of the league game, because look, a lot of the scores in the second game, there's three games in this round, a lot of the scores were teams that got beaten in the first one. Nashville was one of them. You know, and then there's only a few of them, like Leon, that has won two. Some others, of course, but a lot of teams that lost the first game, they actually won the second one, and they're in the same position. So yeah. Starting tonight. It's already started. I don't know who's playing right now, but starting there are several games tonight, several tomorrow, and several on Thursday as well. So a lot of things are going to be taken care of in the two. But that's what every game is important. If not for the actual teams, because Pumas, for instance, doesn't have anything to do tonight. And Atlas has no business tonight in Cincinnati. But Cincinnati would like to win as well to end up with 9 points, mm-hmm, qualifying first. So stuff like that is going on tonight and tomorrow as well, and we'll see what happens. But the chances there, unfortunately, because of the loss against Leon, and not everything is on Nashville's people's hands right now, because they have to rely on other scores somewhere else.
Yeah, and I would like to kind of bring up some breaking news on the show. I mean, it was reported five hours ago, but CF Montreal is signing ex-Arsenal and ex-Man United player Alexis Sanchez. Alexis Sanchez played, you know, some good time in Serie A as well with Udinese and Inter Milan, and now he's in MLS with CF Montreal.
Is he a player you would have gone for at this point, Nick?
I think for Montreal's case, it doesn't hurt. I mean, they're trying to really put butts in seats in this case. I mean, they're 16
maybe
points.
Maybe for the right money, I guess.
Yeah, for the right money, for sure. I mean, CF Montreal is, what, second to the bottom in the Eastern Conference standings. So they're a good ways out. But if you're trying to get them, if they're trying to get back into the top four, they're only 10 points out for the most part. I mean, more like 13 points out from the top four there. So if they want to get in the top eight, it's still within reach. I mean,
it's hard to say that Sanchez will come back to the top form that he showed, especially in the Premier. But in good days, he's a very strong player. He's a very good striker, very good forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely seen better days. He's 37 years old. He's made 800 appearances in all competitions with club and country, so over 200 goals. The Chilean international has done a really good job with his career, and I mean, good for him. I mean, this is definitely a spot where he can kind of shine. But
he could probably still have a couple, two or three good years here. Yeah,
he's
if he catches form.
His contract is through the 27-28 season, but it's a one-year option. So basically, it's through the rest of this season, and the club has the option to sign him through 27-28.
Sign him again next season. All right, that's good. So,
continuing with the regular scheduling program, it's interesting to look at Nashville SC as they head into CF Montreal because I don't know if you knew this or not, Claudio, but Wednesday is actually Monterrey. That's the CF Montreal. I apologize. Monterrey. I don't know if you knew this or not, but in Mexico, Monterrey is having their car week, exotic car week, and it starts on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
sure
enough, Monterrey plays Nashville on a Wednesday. How
coincidence
is that?
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So I do think Nashville will have a little bit of a challenge ahead of them, but it all hinges on what happens this evening at the time of our recording of these other teams. If they end up scoring and winning and puts Nashville out of contention, moving on to the knockout rounds of the League's Cup, I think we're going to see the same lineup a little bit like it was against Lyon. I don't think it'll be the youngest starting 11 again. I do think if Nashville doesn't have an opportunity to move on or advance into the League's Cup knockout rounds, I think this is what the starting lineup will be. Xavier Valdez. I think Jack Mayer gets another start. I think Thomas Williams gets another start. We'll go Josh Bauer, Reed Baker-Whiting. I think that's your back four. Your midfield, I would go Charles Emile Brunet and maybe Famara Kamara. I think that might be an option. And then looking at your forwards, probably Elias Saad or Warren Madrigal, one of the two. I could probably see Elias Saad and maybe Warren Madrigal at the top there. And then for your number nine, you have Shaq Mohammed. Or you could put Mohammed and Saad on each side. Maybe that's more like it. I don't know. I'm trying to value the idea of putting minutes under the belt of a guy like Warren Madrigal. Although he doesn't really need minutes. I would just like to see him out on the field to see what he can do. But that's kind of how I am on the starting 11 if Nashville is not able to advance in the League's Cup.
But my team will be a little bit different, especially. I think it's going to remain. Everybody will remain the same four in the back. Maybe the only thing that could switch around would be having Baker Whiting. Because I've seen ABJ doing this before. When a guy scores like that, he gives him a chance to start a game. Maybe him instead of Lovitz. That'd be the only thing I do there. I don't see Bauer playing or Mayer, at least not starting. In the middle of the field, I would like to see, and probably would be a good chance to see a Kamara starting.
Yeah.
But I believe the rest of the staff stay the same with the Saad on the one side. I have my doubt, and I don't know. I'm gonna run this by you. If my starting lineup is correct, who would you pair Kamara with, Corcoran or Tagseth?
I mean, I think logically it would be Tagseth because Tagseth can take up more space in the midfield, and you have Kamara that does all the dirty work of the bruising, the shoulder bumping, as some may say. But no, if you're just trying to get by and get him minutes, I think it would be logical to put Matthew Corcoran with them because I think Nashville is in a position right now when it comes to, you know, the end of League's Cup play. If they don't advance to the next, you know, knockout rounds, then you go back into MLS play. You're over 2 points over Inter Miami in the Eastern Conference. You play them on Saturday. I mean, regardless of if Messi plays or if he doesn't play because, you know, the passing of his father recently, I think that maybe plays a factor into him starting or even being available.
As far as I know, he's still in Argentina, so he probably would not be here. So that's the last thing I heard.
So that adds on to my comment there of more than likely play – I basically have the idea of not playing with Messi in the lineup for Inter Miami. So if you're Nashville, you have the opportunity to pounce. You have the opportunity to really, you know, extend your lead in the Eastern Conference and separate yourselves from everyone else, because now that they didn't qualify or go through to the, you know, last, you know, stages of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and let's say in this case, if all those teams that need to lose for League's Cup purposes, say they end up winning, that puts Nashville out of contention. So Nashville missed out twice already on two pieces of hardware.
Yeah.
Now you really need to capitalize on MLS play, and that's the Supporter Shield and going very deep into the MLS playoffs and hopefully, for their case, winning the whole thing. So if you're Nashville, you need to really prioritize, you know, going full gung-ho on Saturday. And with that being said, I think that starting lineup would be Brian Chouaki, Palacios, Waleji, maybe Reed Baker-Whiting and Andy Nahar. I mean, stylistically, I would love to see that, but I don't think it'll happen. I think there has to be a little bit of balance out of the back, so it'll probably be Lovitz and Nahar. Midfield, would love to see Tagseth, and more than likely it'll probably be Corcoran, but then see Ali Assad on the left. Then you have, I don't know, this is where I'm indifferent about this. Obviously, I have Sam up top, Christian Espinoza on the right. But where do you factor in that other, you know, other midfielder? Would it be Hani Mukhtar or would it be a Warren Madrigal? And then you just move Ali Assad to that attacking midfielder role because he likes to play deeper. He's more of a creative player. Where would you
start? I'm not sure, but I don't see Madrigal and Saad playing at the same time in any game.
Yeah.
I don't think so because, first of all, they play on the left. As long as Christian Espinoza is available, unless the coach wants to rest him, I don't see them playing. I mean, one will be starting and the other one will be coming off the bench. And at the point of, we are right now, that's Saad place in the starting lineup for whatever reason. I mean, Warren doesn't do it bad at all, but the fact is that Elias has gained a step forward right now in that position.
Well, I think it's morphed into this, Claudio. You know, before Ali Assad was, you know, signed to Nashville on loan, it was Ahmed Kasem and Warren Madrigal fighting for that left attacking mid role throughout the beginning of the season. And it seemed like Ahmed Kasem kind of lost that role after the first game. And Warren Madrigal said, I like to attack defenders head on and beat them with my feet. And he does a really good job with that. Now, I think it's starting to morph into more of Sam Surridge is the starting nine, and you now have Shaq Mohammed and Warren Madrigal kind of rotating as that backup, you know, number nine in that case. You still have Hani Mukhtar in there as well, but I do think when it comes to the idea and scoring opportunities, I think Warren Madrigal is a really good number two behind a guy like Sam Surridge. So it's now Ahmed Kasem and Ali Assad, or Ali Assad and Shaq Mohammed that rotate on that left side, and then you have on the right side either a Shaq Mohammed or Christian Espinoza. You know, you have now a rotation.
I mean, the order for me, yep. The order for me goes this way. On the right side is going to be for me right now. Of course, Christian Espinoza and Mohamed as a second option right there. On the third, on the other side, I see, and then maybe even Alex Muil could be a third option right there because
I keep forgetting about way. Alex. I apologize.
Yeah, Alex Muil can play either way, but on the other side, I see it is Saad. And not only because he's been playing so well, because there's something that BJ said and mentioned on the press conference Monday. He said something about Saad also that he liked, and he probably doesn't see it. He's never mentioned on any other players. The way he was willing to attack players, defenders 1v1. And that's true. I mean, you don't see many of the guys in Nashville, perhaps. Maybe Mukhtar sometimes, most times, but he liked that part. And he probably thinks that that's something that Saad brings to the table in opportunities when he can actually getting outside of the box and take defenders 1v1 to cause trouble there. And he liked that part. So that's why it makes me think that Saad is taking that place for himself with Warren Madrigal as a second option, and then Kasem actually goes to the third, in my opinion. But I don't know.
No, we'll see. Agree.
I
agree 100%. I think, you know, Ahmed Kasem has kind of dropped in the depth chart a little bit. But you make a good point about Alex Moyle. I keep forgetting about him. You know, Alex Moyle is just that guy that has that infinite lung, lungs. Excuse me. The guy never.
You can't count him off.
And I think, you know, if you go up against Inter Miami, it wouldn't hurt to start a guy like Alex Moyle just to kind of
burn minutes. And I'm not saying, you know, that's the only purpose that he serves in the lineup. No, he does a really good job at creating.
I mean, if you ask me, I don't know if you agree or not, Nick, but if you ask me, I don't see anything wrong about starting Will against Miami.
No, not at all.
I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong, but the second round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, when Nashville went to Inter Miami, Alex Muil started that game.
He did. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, BJ probably sees it the same way. I mean, he said, "No, I mean, I could start Onyx in any game.
Yeah.
Why not Saturday? That's no problem. He's at home anyways. He likes to play against, right here on this field very well before his own fans. So you never have to worry about Alex giving 100% anyways. He will, no matter what. And then, you know, you could rest anybody and have Alex come in there. So he could start either way, either tomorrow or Saturday. No problem at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at Nashville SC's, you know, upcoming schedule, you have Monterrey Wednesday, you have Inter Miami on Saturday, followed by another Wednesday game, which is it's against the New York Red Bulls here at Geodis Park, and then follow that in the 22nd. You go on the road to Columbus, then you go on the road to Cincinnati on the 29th. So now you're back into regular league play where you have a full week time to, you know, prep, scout.
Right.
Do
right.
what you need to do. Get healthy in the weight room and all that. Go to the training room if you need to. Then you're back in normal form. So then you play a game on the 4th on a Friday, which is at home. They have a 3-game homestand. It's New York, Toronto, Inter Miami. I think that this is where they need to be excelling on all.
I mean, the only problem is that he's facing two difficult games, one after the other. Tomorrow for sure, if he wants to stay alive on the League's Cup. Because look, I mean, the Monterrey started the same way Nashville did. They lost, 2-1 against Orlando in this tournament, and they came back and beat Miami.
Yep.
2-1 over there in Miami. This is kind of interesting because the two goals were scored by ex-MLS players. Kuipers, remember Kuipers? Hugo Kuipers in Chicago. And the other one was Diego Rossi, who used to play for Columbus.
That's right.
So, and I tell you a lot of stuff. You know, two players that they picked up from MLS were the ones that scored against Miami. But and also, both those attackers for sure have MLS experience. So that's something else to think about. Well, besides, we have to take account the stuff that let me read exactly what BJ said about Monterrey. He says Monterrey chose how dangerous of attacking team they are, sends a lot of numbers into the attack, and also is able to create attacking moments of their aggressive defensive style.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're right.
That's the coach exactly saying, his scouting report about Monterrey is very, very, I mean, it's a very aggressive team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to lose, simple. They're not coming to lose. That's why tomorrow, if you're really thinking about going to a good game, tomorrow's a game to go, in my opinion. You're a fan, you want to see, well, I mean, really, I'm not sure. We cannot guarantee you that Nashville is going to take the victory or even qualify, depending on the score, but that you're going to be able to watch a good soccer game, football game tomorrow, that's guaranteed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I need to clarify something here. Nashville SC, obviously they play tomorrow, but they're categorized as the away team. They take Inter Miami on this weekend here at Geodis Park, followed by on the road on the 19th on a Wednesday against New York Red Bulls. Then they have a 2-game homestand against Columbus versus Cincinnati on the 29th. Then they go on the road for 3 games. That's where I messed up, so I apologize. New York City FC on September the 4th. September 9th, they have Toronto. It's a Wednesday game at Toronto. And then they play Inter Miami September the 12th at Inter Miami. And then they're back home to finish out the month of September against Chicago and Toronto. So
doesn't get any easier.
No, it definitely doesn't. But again, I emphasize Saturday's game against Inter Miami. Nashville has the opportunity to really separate themselves from other teams in the Eastern Conference, because if they get the full 3 points, that really puts Inter Miami in a bit of a pickle. They would have to be basically, I'm not saying fighting for their lives, but it would definitely put them in an odd predicament because they're currently at 38 points. Obviously, they're 8 points clear of third place against the New England Revolution. But if Nashville gets the 3 points, they're at 43 points to 38. That's a little bit of a 5-point swing there. So, I mean, it almost feels like it's a 10-point gap in some aspects.
The problem with the Saturday game is that if it was any other team in the MLS that were not stepping on your back, on your shoes from the back, then you probably have to not relax, but take it a different way. The problem is that, first of all, it's a Geodis Park. It's a rivalry game. that our fans will hate to lose, no matter what circumstance. And also the fact that they're right there, what's that, 2 points away?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if for any reason Nashville were to lose this game, then they're going to be up a point now in the first place, and also on the probably on the first on the supporters' shield. Now this time Miami again. So that's the thing. I guess if you could just do a survey, the fans would probably choose to beat Miami and lose tomorrow. If that's, you know, if you could say something like that. But again, I don't think anybody's ready. The only thing about it, and BJ said it very clearly also, this tomorrow's game, Nick, according to BJ, is a unique, he called it a unique challenge. That's how he called it. Unique challenge, because seldom you get to face or come up against teams like this every week or every 2 weeks. That's the fact of the matter. You know, this is one of the top game teams on the in Liga MX, and well, here's the game tomorrow. We'll see. I mean, it's kind of a guessing game in terms of starting here, Nick. Because I mean, who do you start tomorrow?
Most of the
guys that start tomorrow will have to start on Saturday anyways. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think it really depends on what happens this evening at the time of our recording, of what happens in the Leagues Cup. If some of these teams,
if you want to win, you have to start most of the guys both games.
I disagree.
Well, we just saw. I bring up our comments. What happened against Leon?
Yeah, but that's different. No, Claudio, that's different.
There were different players.
No, that's different, because that was a different situation. The game actually had meaning to it. If they won that game, that's 3 points. That puts them in the opportunity. If they were to beat Atletico San Luis, which they did, they'd be at 6 points. Then this third game in the League's Cup qualification process, it would matter even more. See, now because Nashville's fate is in the hands of four or five other teams, they need those four or five other teams to lose. If one of those teams ends up winning, guess what happens? Nashville's out of the League's Cup to go to the knockout rounds. So that third game basically means nothing. So if I'm Nashville SC, if I'm the head coach, I'm not playing my key players on Wednesday. I'm playing my key players for Saturday, because that's what really matters, to be able to separate yourself.
I lost you here. Let me see if I somehow I lost.
There we go. You got me?
I got you here now. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
But what I was saying is you have this time to separate yourself from the rest of the Eastern Conference, meaning Inter Miami has a 2-point gap there between them and Nashville. Nashville has the opportunity to make it almost basically a 5-point swing. It doesn't matter what happens in that third game. It truly doesn't, because Nashville have messed up with losing that first game. They now need the opportunity for them to, you know, have four or five other teams all lose. That's what is the hard part, because you now it's a wait and see game. Their fate is in the hands of another team. Now they have if that does happen, then yes, that third game now matters again. Right now it doesn't, because of the outcome of what may happen at the time of this recording.
It would take more than luck to have all those teams lose anyways.
Sure, exactly.
One or two of them are going to win. So
that's what I'm saying. Now they have the opportunity to really separate themselves on Saturday against Inter Miami, and that would really be huge for them, because they go up against New York, they go up against Columbus, and Cincinnati. Out of those three teams, two of the three should be wins for Nashville. And I'm sorry I'm getting, you know, aggressive about it, but like I'm passionate about the idea. I think Columbus, I just paint the point of view.
It makes a lot of sense.
So. I think Columbus is a beatable team if you're Nashville and you're getting guys back from injury. This is a game they should win. I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but then you have Cincinnati, who is a tough team. But then you go against a team like Columbus and New York. I think New York is a beatable team as well. So those are two games in particular, New York and Columbus, that you need to win if you're Nashville.
All right, we have to figure out all the stuff tomorrow after the game, or even before when you start seeing the starting lineup. That really covers all our questions tonight. One way of thinking about it is that no team in the MLS wants to lose at home against any Liga MX team either.
That's true.
But again, you know, I agree with you and about the importance of both games. One in the Saturday is the one that actually kind of clicks in your mind, saying, okay, this is the one. And because even if we win tomorrow, it might not matter anything. I agree. I mean, it's just a fact. That's how it is. Anyways,
Another quality conversation we've had here on the Final Whistle Reaction, right here on Nashville Total Sports. And you can catch the audio version of this on the Talking College Show podcast on 102.5 The Game and the podcast platforms. I am Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, alongside Claudio Villalobos with Nashville Total Sports. This is his thing. And we appreciate all that watch and listen week in and week out. Try to give you the best coverage possible for Nashville SC and all of the local soccer here in the area.
And we come back on Final Whistle tomorrow after the game from Beauty's Park. This time, we promise we're going to be fine.
It'll work. The audio will work this time. Ci vediamo, guys.
Pura vida.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.